Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
The Golden State loses by 7, but the Wolves had a significant lead of 21 in the fourth quarter as they blasted the Warriors in the third, 39-17, in a game where Minnesota was red hot from three all night long. But really, there were two. Tom, you brought this up. Two things that really happened. You brought one of them, and that is in the first half, every time the Warriors threatened to get a good-sized lead, Anthony Edwards made a play, or Julius Randle at the beginning of the game, and then Edwards as we headed toward halftime, but definitely in the third quarter. But they were shooting over 50% from three most of the night, and that's hard to overcome when you don't have Steph Curry. And they were outscored 48-24 from three. Rudy Gobert altered 7 shots when the game was still in the balance, and that's always a factor. And again, you know, the Warriors just didn't have enough firepower to overcome this. And I just think that it's really tough. The odd stat of the night is Golden State took 53 shots in the paint. 53 of their 85 in the paint.
Wow.
And which is...
a ton.
Yeah, the Timberwolves were 21 of 35. Warriors were 27 of 53.
No, I mean, the Warriors did a lot of good stuff. They, you know, second chance points outscored them 14-9. They turned the ball over too much in the second half. I think it was 10 turnovers in the second half. But the Wolves really, really chucked it around the infield in the second half. I think they might have had 15 turnovers in the second half. Let me see what they had. They had 16 turnovers. Now, some of those were really, really late, and they were after they built up that 20-point lead. But the one thing that, again, the only thing I would say I was concerned about going into the second half was the assist-to-bucket ratio. And, again, for context, the Warriors are usually around 70%. I think this year they were tops in the league. If not top, they're right the top handful. So you're always looking for, let's say, you know, 30 buckets. They have 21 assists. And I took this box score. I didn't take the final box because that's deceiving. I took the last one where the starters were playing. And they had 30 field goals. And instead of their normal 21 assists, they had 12. And that is, you know, Butler's the guy that holds the ball a little bit, and Kuminga's the guy that holds the ball a little bit. And that's the way they play. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, the Timberwolves aren't a huge assist team. They had 39 field goals, 22 assists. So they assisted on barely over 50%, which isn't a super high number. It becomes harder in the playoffs. But if you're going to live off that, that's rough. I mean, that's a tough road to go down. Like, every single shot's a tough one, and you're having to work for every shot. The offense isn't creating any shot. Ball movement isn't creating any shot. Player movement isn't creating any shot. And that was the one thing I was concerned about. And in the third quarter, it kind of played out that way. I think they had 2 assists on 10 field goals is what it was. Or 7 field goals. 7 field goals, 2 assists. So, yeah, I don't know if there's really anything to be done about it. Because, again, Steph isn't just about scoring points and hitting shots. He's a guy that stretches the court, gives everybody more room, and the offense works. I mean, he's like the viscosity to that offense. It just works and flows, and therefore you have assists that lead to buckets. But it's tough. There's no two ways around it. I could sit here and tell you this, but that it all comes down to, hey, you don't have Steph. It could be really, it's really tough. You're going to have to be closer to perfect. And they just weren't tonight. And give the Wolves credit. I mean, the Wolves gave it to them from three. Just gave it to them. And that's this league. You hit a lot of three-pointers. You hit a high percentage of three-pointers. You're going to stand a really good chance of winning the game. And then when it got away from them, then it was like everything was working for the Wolves and they were getting buckets at the paint. And by that point, it was kind of over.
Yeah, it's hard. You hope it's not the last home game we have here at Chase, but really, you know, going into game four, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough for them to try to figure out a way to win game five in Minneapolis. And things that haven't happened so far in this series would have to happen. You know, you'd have to have, you know, maybe a big night from Pajemski or Moses Moody. And so it's going to be very, very difficult for them to do it. Can they do it? Sure they can.
Could.
Crazier things have happened in postseason play. You know, but they really have to play not a perfect game, but really close to perfect to pull that off.
You have to assume the Wolves aren't going to hit as many threes.
Yeah.
Or as high a percentage of threes,
absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like that game. Was it game one or game two in the 22 finals when Boston just hit everything in the fourth quarter? Game two? I think it was game two.
But was it game two?
And so, you know, I came out of that game thinking, okay, they won the game, but they're not going to shoot like that again in a quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that one.
But I think that's something you say, look, they were on fire from three, they hit three, and look, if they do it again, they're going to win.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're going to say they're not going to do that. And Anthony Edwards, I mean, like, he's a 40% three-point shooter, so 6 for 11 is pretty good. Although that last one he took was kind of a shot clock one where he just chucked it up there that had no chance of going in.
And to me, it's not really Edwards that, I mean, he could go 6 for 11 in game 5 easily, but Randall was 4 of 8. Dante shot 50% from 3, and so, you know, yeah, you just hopefully they miss a few.
Well, it's really Randall and Edwards, right? 10 for 19. And those were the guys. They had 61 between them. So, yeah, I mean, I talked about the margin for error, and you're going to have to, you know, limit turnovers, even though you were plus 9 in turnovers. Let me check that last
I was
score.
Plus 9 in turnovers. That's good for
you
me.
You were not.
It's really good for me.
In fact, the Warriors were minus 3 points and points off turnovers when it mattered. I mean, at the very end when the Wolves were turning the ball over, I don't even count that because I don't even care. It doesn't even make a difference in the game. But, I mean, Butler's probably going to have a bigger impact, right, than 5 for 9. Even though I did enjoy that everyone was involved early on.
Early on, yeah.
Draymond got it going, although ended up only 6 for 15. And Butler 5 for 9. Buddy Hield 4 for 11. He kind of got it going early, and then kind of shut him down after that. Boy, Pajemski's just having a tough go of it.
Yeah,
just a
really
tough
rough.
Go. He just can't seem to find. And I thought after getting off to a 2 for 2 start, maybe that would get him going. And there were two good shots. You know, one
confident.
Yeah, one on the right block that. You know, that jump stop pump fake and then spin and then hit that little left handed kind of. Not really a jump hook, but over his right shoulder and then hit that shot from the left elbow. I thought, okay, two good shots, not threes, close to the bucket, got his confidence going. And then after that, he was 1 for 12. Yeah. So it's just been a tough go for him.
You know, and we've, you know, you've seen it, and thankfully I've done enough playoff series to know that that happens.
Yep.
Certain guys, you know, I'm not saying it's something he's going to do all the time, but we've seen guys have bad playoff. We've seen really good players have bad playoff series.
Yep.
I mean, it's just one of the things that happens.
Well, it gets magnified.
Yeah.
It's not a big sample size.
Right.
So you might have a stretch like this throughout the course of the season, and nobody really pays it much mind.
Right.
You know, it's in January or it's in February or whatever it is, but it's in the playoffs. These are standalone games. Everybody's paying attention to all these games. And when you have shooting struggles like you've had, people are going to bring it up. People are going to talk about it. It's hard to, like, just block all that stuff out. Whereas in the regular season, you know, there's 14 other games going on that night. Nobody really cares that you went 2 for 10. So, and you know, they need him, too. And the thing about Brandon is I always appreciate he usually contributes in other ways. It's not just about shooting, but in this series, without Steph, they kind of needed him to hit a few shots.
Yep. And the other part about this is, too, is that if you ever doubted, and if you have had family and friends who ever doubted just how good Stephen Curry is, this series is a great example of it. It's not just the fact of his scoring, his passing, his rebounding for a guard, which is really good and barely underrated, but It's the gravity. It's when he's on the floor, even if he goes to the corner, he's got one guy with him and two other guys looking at him, you know, or like shading to him, saying, okay, I got to be there to help with Steph Curry. The floor opens up when he's out there offensively.
Those people still exist? There can't be any of those people left.
I hear rumblings from
really?
RC, yeah.
RC, you hear rumblings?
I hear things.
Really? What do you hear?
Rumblings.
Word on the street?
Word on the street.
I mean, I can't believe any sane person doesn't understand how good
we're talking professional sports here. There's a lot of sane people.
I know, I get that.
The same ones that say Steph ruined basketball.
You have to be way beyond clinically insane to not understand how good he is. I thought we've moved into the him versus Magic realm now where people get to argue about that ridiculousness. So, yeah, of course. And it's the same. With every team and their star player, it affects you, and it affects you differently. And with Steph, it affects you differently just because he's so different than everybody and what he brings to the what he brings to the table. So, it is what it is. No one's crying for the Warriors. No one's crying for the Celtics. No one's crying for the Cavs. No one's crying for anybody. So you just go out there and line up with who you have and hope for the best and. It's a bummer from a basketball fan standpoint that you're not getting to see these teams go out there with their best players.
I have to be honest. I was kind of looking forward to see how Cleveland would match up with Boston. You know, nothing against the Knicks, and they're playing really well. And, you know, they haven't been there in a long time.
Yep.
But I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, Kenny Atkinson coach against Joe Mazzulla and watching the big front line of Cleveland, because they could handle the size that Boston throws at
you.
So
I would say this. I'm not counting Boston out yet.
Okay.
And the Knicks, they kind of had that game wrapped up even when Tatum got hurt.
Before he got hurt.
So they were going to go up 3-1, whether he got hurt or not.
Right.
It's just they're not going to have him now. And then because of that mystery illness that Porzingis has, he's not playing a full load. But, you know, Cleveland loses that one game when they are missing three guys, right? They're missing three guys, and you're like, well, how would that game have turned out had they been healthy? Now, I don't care who was healthy, who wasn't healthy, because they were supposedly all healthy last game. No one was beating the Pacers last game.
No.
Last game, they were out of their skulls. I mean, it was just like they all showed up and said, yeah, let's put up 80. In the first half. So
your guy Mathurin threatened to derail that, but okay.
What is he doing?
What is he doing?
They just punch Hunter. What are we doing?
I know. They have control of the game in the series.
I have no idea. And then the other series, the Nuggets and the Thunder, nobody can score.
Yeah.
Oh. It's just like, I mean, we transported back to the 80s.
RC texted me. They've got only 8 points in the second quarter. I said, yeah, but they're only down 10.
I know. It was the wildest game. Oh. It really was. Oh. So that just when you think you head into the playoffs knowing what to expect, you don't know what to expect. This year it's been a lot more unpredictable than most. So RC not digging it, but you never know. What about you? You've been doing this for a lot longer than I have.
Oh, I've been doing it
too long.
Too long is what I've been doing this.
One more flight for us tomorrow. It's been a long year of travel, hasn't it?
No, there's at least two more flights.
You got to get back.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll hang out with Pete.
Tom is going
to stay.
We'll trade you straight up for Pete.
Yeah. Here you go. Hey.
Tolbert is out in search of the headwaters of the Mississippi. He's going.
Where'd he go? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. He's in the wilds of Minnesota.
In the wilderness.
It's going to be like Fargo all over again.
I'm definitely not dressed for that. I can handle the Minnesota summer. We're good there. Start getting into the fall? Not good. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you. That's Tom Tolbert. I'm Tim Roy. The final was 117-110. Wolves over the Warriors. They lead the best of 7, 3 games to 1.